Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BET. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show kicking off hour two. And we're going to talk more college football. Appreciate Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix coming on. Also, Hemp for Pros, CDB for Pros, helping some retired athletes and everything that you may order. Also, a portion of the proceeds go to help the retired vets, so that's great as well. So, again, every Tuesday, bottom of hour one, it is Dave Bartu coming up in about 10 minutes. Having Jeff Cameron on from the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. So Jeff Cameron joining us in about 10, bottom of the hour. Richard Cross straight from the sidelines of last night's Ole Miss Louisville game, where the Rebels, they showed out big, man. And Louisville, did y'all watch the game? Did you stay up for it? If at halftime you're like, oh my gosh, Louisville, this game ain't going to be a game. Well, it never really became a game a whole lot. But Louisville's, the first half, the offense, nothing. Bupkis, zilch going on. There's a chance that Malik Cunningham completed one pass in the first half. Or it might have been three passes, maybe, but like 11 yards. I think it was 11 yards passing in the first half. Second half got on some rhythm, and at one point was maybe 12 out of 15, but it was not a rhythm that necessarily got Louisville close. Got a field goal. Ole Miss got a field goal. Got a touchdown. Ole Miss got a touchdown. Ole Miss got another touchdown. So they were never going to come back, but they did come to life. So you missed some fireworks in the second half, but there was never any question about how the game was going to go. But we'll talk Matt Corral, and I'll ask about Rebels defense. They played defense last night against a team with some stars, not Javion Hawkins or Tutu Atwell or any of the those monsters from past couple of seasons. But they've got talent on offense, and they had a hard time scoring last night against Ole Miss, and that's not nothing. So we'll talk all of that with Richard at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we'll get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, UConn coach Edsall to step down immediately. I will add, not at the end of the season like Randy Edsall had said on Sunday, and we talked about that yesterday. The school actually updated it and said, you know what? After meeting with Coach Edsall, we decided he wasn't going to be Coach Edsall anymore, beginning right here, right now. Lost to Fresno 45-0 in the opener. Lost to FCS Holy Cross. I can only name one player who's ever played at Gordy Lockbaum. Do y'all know that name? Gordy Lockbaum. He might have been, I think that there was some sort of like Heisman campaign. And I think Gordy Lockbaum finished maybe top five in the Heisman from Holy Cross. But they lost, and it's just, it's bad, bad, bad. So he's out right now. Speaking of bad, and I hate this, Alabama linebacker needs surgery, likely to miss season. That would be Christopher Allen, dadgummit. And he got injured early in the game on Saturday. Fractured foot. Quote from Nick Saban, he's probably out for the year. Okay. Drew Sanders, sophomore, number 20, took over. I think he's that kid. I remember him committing, and it was like, well, he's a tight end, or he's a defensive end, or he's a linebacker, or he's something. But, boy, he's big and physical and athletic. That Drew Sanders is big, physical, and a tough, rugged-looking kid. And he stepped in, and he's not as good as Christopher Allen. Today, he's not as good as Christopher Allen is with a foot that works. But he's pretty dang tough and active and can run and looks like he knows where to be. And they just keep rolling along. I hate it for Christopher Allen. I hope he can get back, though. Sanders had six tackles. So Saban said that he would have the chance to step up and be the starter going forward. Headline, Clemson safety Zanders, season-ending surgery. That would be a shoulder surgery for Landon Zanders. He got injured again. I think it was the first quarter against Georgia, I think. Headline, it's awful. Michigan wide receiver Bell, out remainder of season. That would be Ronnie Bell. He's their number one receiver, and he's out for the year with a knee injury. I don't know if I want to – I'll give you some good news. All right, here's some good news. Mississippi State receiver expected to be available Saturday against NC State. That would be junior wide receiver Malik Heath. Do you remember the last time you saw Malik Heath on the football field? He was stepping on a Tulsa player's head with his cleats at the end of the bowl game. Do y'all recall? And then he went to Twitter and kind of decided to fight back. He didn't play Saturday. And because he's a receiver, we immediately notice. And because he's a pretty good receiver, we noticed that he wasn't in the lineup. And, oh, he's not playing. He didn't play at all. After the game, Mike Leach said he was attending to a personal issue. Didn't mention anything else beyond saying he's attending a personal issue. Now, Demonte Russell, defensive end, he didn't play either because he's a defensive end and he doesn't rack up the same number of stats that we identify with, like seven catches for 68 yards. He didn't play either. And both Malik Heath and Demonte Russell were involved in that fight at the end of the bowl game against Tulsa. I don't know. Maybe they both had a tummy ache. Maybe each of them were being told, yeah, you're not going to play in the opener because of how you conducted yourself. I don't know that. We'll find out at some point, maybe. But the point is, when NC State comes rolling into Starkville Saturday, expect Malik Heath to be on the field. I'm excited to see the offense. If the kid has, if there was punishment and if the kid has checked all those boxes and Mike Leach thinks, all right, well, he can rejoin the team. If that's all that has happened, good for Malik Heath getting back on the field. And the same thing for Russell. Consider yourself up to date. We're going to break.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Come back. Talk a little Florida State next.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One reason I've said that football is different than every other sport. Pretty much, it's the only sport where I can put my hands on you and move you to a different patch of earth. And so it matters. It's a physical game, which is why I don't really get into magic and hocus pocus and stuff that you can't explain. Again, I am not a fun football fan because, oh, what a great story. Oh, it's just magical. I'm like, no, nothing's magical. There's always a reason you can explain it. I live in Atlanta, and a couple of seasons back, Julio Jones was missing a couple of games, and Russell Gage stepped into the lineup, who I think he was undrafted or maybe sixth-round pick maybe out of LSU. But he's kind of this skinny little kid, it looks like, on an NFL field with grown men. And so he had a couple of games where he performed. I remember listening to the announcers, what will the coach do with Russell Gage when Julio Jones returns? And I said, he'll put Russell Gage back on the bench. I mean, football is the one game where I got no use for magic, okay? It's just too much of a literal physical thing. Mackenzie Milton got some magic. I don't explain things that way ever. I don't live with unicorns and fairy dust and wands. Mackenzie Milton got some magic. And even though Florida State lost, that is sort of a corner to fight out of for the Seminoles. Jordan Travis completed a few passes, made some plays. Mackenzie Milton is just a little bit different. Want to welcome on now a good friend of the program from 93.3 FM down yonder in Tallahassee, as well as other places in our digital world. It is Jeff Cameron. Brother, how you been?
I've been great, Chuck. Good to be with you again, buddy. I'm glad football's back, and it's always fun to talk to you.
Yeah, and tell everybody the full business card now. I said 93.3, but you're elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm on warchant.com. I do the college sports book on YouTube. I do a lot of stuff for SiriusXM. I'm a little bit of everywhere, Chuck, but it's all good. Just talking sports for a living.
Boom, boom, boom. All right, let's talk the theory of, oh, what a magical kid. I never have any use for that. There are times I just can't explain things, and Mackenzie Milton looks like one of those kids that you watch play, and you're like, yeah, okay, I'll go to the magic card there. Tell me what you saw from him when he comes in because Jordan Travis's helmet pops off.
Yeah, it's a strange deal. You know, for starters, you know, the talk around here after that game, Chuck, besides the fact that clearly Florida State has made some strides this offseason, much more competitive in a lot of ways. But the talk was from the fan base, well, how is it Mackenzie Milton didn't start the game? How is it that that kid who we saw in limited action, who put up the numbers that he did and made the plays that he did, how is it he didn't get the nod to start the game? And I can tell you, as somebody that covered practice and went to the vast majority of them in camp, well, the reason he didn't start was he didn't practice. He wasn't out there all that much. They had a real hard time keeping him out there to practice for a variety of reasons, one of which was load management, still dealing with the lingering effects from that injury. There were rumors about other things, nothing nefarious, but he missed some time for other things that we see a lot of guys these days missing time for, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like, well, how do you start a guy in a quarterback competition who misses I don't know, 8 of 10 days, 9 of 11 days at one stretch. It's really difficult to justify to the rest of the players who you tell they have to compete every day for their job that this guy's going to start even though he didn't really practice. And I think that was part of it. Now, you know, this is a kid that's put up numbers. We all know that. We saw what he did a few years back at UCF. And it seems to me that when the lights turn on, practice or not, that guy's a gamer, to your point about magic. Something happens with him because when he does practice, Chuck, he doesn't practice well. He's not a guy that you see anything from and you think, oh, man, there's something there. But we see the game film. We see the video. We're there live in attendance watching what he just did. So it's got to be tough as a coaching staff to see a guy miss a ton of time and also not practice all that well when he does practice. And then he goes out there and he makes those plays. At some point, you're going to have to trust that when the game starts, he's going to play well. And I think that's what they're wrestling with now.
As I said, on some of the completions with Jordan Travis, you know, they made some big plays there. But also too many turnovers. And I don't want any turnovers from our quarterback, much less throwing three picks. And I don't care how good Kyle Hamilton is. Just give me the full report card from Jordan Travis, because it appears he's already in the rear view for a lot of people. And I'm like, no, folks, there's still 11 regular season games. He's part of this offense.
Yeah, he'll have to be part of this offense in some capacity. And he may not be as the primary quarterback. It may be as a playmaker, because he is that. He is certainly elusive. He is certainly a guy that can make something happen with the ball in his hands. But in terms of playing the quarterback position, Florida State does not have a drop-back pass game when he's in. And that is a huge problem, because I think obviously you limit your receivers at that point, and it creates other problems. It's much easier to defend, aside from the fact that he escapes the pocket and makes some plays occasionally. You just can't count on him to throw in rhythm. And so I was disappointed for Jordan Travis, who had a great camp. I mean, he's a good kid who works hard and really made strides throwing the football this camp. And a lot of people thought, you know what, that kid's worked hard. We're going to see progress in this game. Too often, though, he looked like a guy that was confused and uncomfortable in the pocket, kind of rat-trapped a little bit there at times. He's certainly a gamer, but I think moving forward, Jordan Travis is going to have to play sort of the Swiss Army knife role. He'll play some quarterback, but they'll also line him up in the slot. They'll also line him up in the backfield. He'll be a guy that has to be a playmaker for this team if Mackenzie Milton is healthy enough to practice and be their primary guy as they install each week.
All right, I know about Jayshon Corbin and Tua Feely. Tell me about Trayshawn Ward. That looks like a fun running back.
Yeah, real fun running back. A couple of stories out of this game the other night. Him, he's one of them. I would also point out that Corbin finally looked explosive again after that devastating injury a couple of years ago at Texas A&M. That was good to see as well, because he's worked hard on his way back. I'll say Trayshawn Ward's a kid, originally a walk-on, got limited time. Began to make some plays in practice, saw him some last year very briefly. And then he comes out, and all of a sudden this camp, he's electrifying, Chuck. I mean, that guy made plays every day. And after a while, coaches couldn't deny it. It didn't matter that he's 185 pounds, 190 pounds. He runs hard. He runs bigger than he looks in terms of height and weight. And he's also quick. So I think you're going to see a lot of him. I think Florida State fans, and certainly I think his coaching staff, felt good about what they saw on Sunday night in that backfield, because Tua Feely's a nice change of pace guy. Corbin's a kind of do-it-all back, at least in terms of he's more explosive than he was, and he's certainly a physical runner. And then you have Trayshawn Ward, who I think can be a playmaker for you. So that's a guy that's going to get a lot of time moving forward.
You know, I don't even think the most, you know, die-hard, loyal Florida State fan will think that this is a provocative statement I'm about to make. When I'm watching the other night, it was, I think it got stretched out. It was like 38-20 at the largest. I was sitting there thinking, 17, 18. There have been some recent Florida State teams that if they're down 38-20 in the fourth quarter, they're kind of looking around going, maybe next week. That did not happen. And I'm telling you, that is a big, big deal to me.
It's the biggest deal to me. It's the biggest thing that you could take away from the game. I mean, besides the fact that they weren't catching tackles anymore and they were trying to come up and hit somebody on occasion, which the last couple of years there was a lot of false bravado on that Florida State defense. They were never in place. They didn't look coordinated. And when they did hit somebody, it was 15 yards downfield. And regardless of that first down, they would still get up and talk. You didn't see that the other night. I think Florida State fans wanted something to buy into. They wanted to see if the players had bought in. And there's no better proof of that, Chuck, than being down 18 at home and, you know, Notre Dame's kind of having their way. And the next thing you know, it's a tie ball game and you're going to overtime. So the fight that has not been there that you correctly alluded to was something that I think walking out of the stadium, Florida State fans felt pretty proud about. The real signs of progress, overused phrase, proof of concept. But I think you saw some of that as well. And then real buy-in.
All right, last thing. We got about a minute and a half, so you can run a little bit with this. Jermaine Johnson. Whew. Wow. Discuss.
Yeah, you and I talked in the offseason, and I kept talking about Jermaine Johnson, the transfer from Georgia. And that kid comes in, and you know, right away, the first time we saw him in the spring, the body type, you just looked at him and you thought, that's a guy that could walk in the locker room of Alabama and nobody would turn their head and say, what are you doing here? You know, he looked different than a lot of Florida State's guys. And as they try to build back up to the place they were, say, 6 years ago, they need guys like that, because they used to have guys that looked like him. But he was a menace, obviously, on Sunday night. He was a guy that dominated all fall camp as well. He's a good leader, too. He's a guy that does it the right way day in and day out off the field. So the coaches really love him. But then the lights came on, and he absolutely changed that game. Notre Dame was forced to double him, and that opened things up for some other guys.
All right, last thing I want to ask you about, just real quick. Am I worrying too much about seeing Mackenzie Milton having to get the knee massage during the game, or is that just something that we're going to deal with throughout the season?
I think you're going to deal with it all season, and I think there is worry. I mean, anytime you've got a guy who recovers from and fights through something as extensive as him, as his injury was, then you worry about it, but you're going to see it all year, Chuck.
Jeff, always happy, good things happening to good people, man. Glad that you got to turn the business card over now. You got so many jobs, so good for you, brother. We will talk to you soon, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Chuck. Good to be with you, buddy. Be well.
All right. From 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, that is Jeff Cameron. Yeah, here's the reel about Mackenzie Milton. And I don't know if they made a whole lot about this on the broadcast or not. I can't remember. But his leg, his knee, the whole thing, it still isn't perfect. He's cleared and he can play. And remember that there was nerve and, I believe, arterial damage. And so you were talking about potentially not even being able to keep the leg, but certainly not run around and play football against a team like Notre Dame and make plays. It's just one of those things where I have – and again, I don't put a lot of value. Oh, what a magical moment, and I need two more. That was one of them that you look around and go, hey, man, sports is so fun, isn't it? Sports is so awesome. That's one of the stories. But then you see him getting that knee massage and you remember, oh, yeah, there's still more to figure out.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 54 sticks. We're about to turn 7. Started this back at the beginning of the 14 season, so thank you, everybody, for putting that blessing in my life. I was having flashbacks last night. Yesterday during the program, after getting all manner, and I get it, after getting all manner of panicked, angry, declarative text messages and tweets from LSU fans, yesterday, I think to start the show, I said, I want to inject just one little piece of information for LSU fans. UCLA might be pretty good. And we don't know yet because it's only week one for you. It's only even 2 games for them. I was like, we don't know. But UCLA, they might be really good. We'll know more in November. And so maybe you look back at that loss and go, still don't like it. Still a Pac-12 team. We're in the SEC and you got to tack on, by God. But I don't like it. But I get because UCLA just went 11-1. Okay. Last night at halftime, I'm fielding text messages from friends of mine who are graduates or fans or whatever of Ole Miss. Is our defense this much better? I was like, it ain't even one game. It's one half. And in the second half, and see, this was the good news because, wait a minute, are we good or does Louisville stink? I think the good news is in the second half, you're like, oh, okay, Louisville's good. Louisville has some offensive pieces. Louisville can do some fun things on that side of the ball. So we actually are playing against a quality offense. And we pitched a shutout for a half, and that's not nothing. So Louisville, again, Malik Cunningham got it going, but way too little, way too late. Matt Corral and the boys, 43-24. Want to welcome on right now a good friend of mine, of myself and also the program and a guy that you can hear on every Ole Miss radio broadcast from the sidelines. It is Richard Cross. What's up, brother? How you doing today?
Good, Chuck. I have left your fair city in the rearview mirror, just crossed the state line back into Mississippi, and glad to be talking about a win. I thought there was a lot of positive that you can take away from an Ole Miss perspective about last night. but also some things that that can be cleaned up. And I think, you may have a different opinion, but I think a pretty significant amount of optimism is in play for Ole Miss, and with good reason.
Absolutely. And with the defense, and we'll get to all the fun, sparkly stuff on offense in a second, but that's the defense. It was almost like, whoa, wait a minute. I want to see that what I was hearing from Ole Miss fans was they needed the reassurance that, okay, Louisville is a good team, because maybe we're just playing, you know, a stinker in week one, and that's why the defense looks better. No, there is some real over there, and I want to start with the transfer, and there's a lot of possibilities where we could start to talk, but I want to talk about the transfer from Maryland, Chance Campbell. That just looks different than I remember the past few seasons on an Ole Miss defense. That is a big, sturdy linebacker who gets his head across, wraps up, and when he gets his mitts on you, you're tackled.
Yeah, it's rare that I'm going to argue with the statistician, but when I looked at the final box score and saw that he was only credited with 7 tackles, I said, well, hold on, what game was that guy watching? Because it felt like he was everywhere in that game. And frankly, they had to ask Chance Campbell to do more than they wanted him to do last night because of the 2 targeting ejections, yeah, both to weak side linebackers. And so you kind of had him playing a little out of position some in the second half. There were a couple of things that stood out to me. One, he was faster, I think, than maybe I realized he was going to be coming in and seemed to play downhill. Tuesday, it felt like he was in the close at the right time, and that speaks to scheme and coaching and smarts on the field. And the third thing, and I don't know if this is overstating it, you know, you talk about kind of a captain on the defensive side, a quarterback, and you need that usually to be a linebacker to make sure people are lined up in the right place. I thought he kind of took on that role, and they kind of looked to him from a leadership standpoint, which I think speaks to the player he is and the teammate that he is, given that he has not been at Ole Miss very long. So, I thought significant upgrade at linebacker, and a guy that I wanted to see more of, but we didn't get to see more of because of, you know, a really hard tackle in which helmets were involved. Mark Robinson, Chuck, this is a guy that was a running back at Southeast Missouri State, transfers in. I thought he played really, really well for like half a quarter until he was ejected from the game.
Yeah, that is a big, thick kid who does not shy away from contact. I want to ask you about another transfer. And this is a kid, yeah, I'm rooting for. I just want kids to get their chance and then succeed or fail, it's on you. Otis Reese got done wrong by the NCAA. And so he now gets his chance at a full season, and he was flying around looking like an SEC defender.
Yeah, and I mean, there are reasons that probably it's not even worth getting into today that for why he was not deemed eligible sooner than he was a year ago. But he brings presence to the back end of that defense. Yep. And I mean, that may sound fluffy to use that word, but he is a legitimate SEC safety. He looks the part. He plays the part. He's a difference maker. And you saw it in the 3 games that he was eligible at the end of last year. He made that defense better in a very, very short window, a small window at the end of last season. Given the fact that there are now some pieces around him with transfers, with freshmen that are coming in playing, just guys that look the part, I think it, one, takes a little bit of pressure off of him, but two, reminds you that you can flip a roster in a year. Not easy. It doesn't always work, but you can flip a roster in a year. And that's what Ole Miss has done on the defensive side.
And, you know, that's one thing that we were talking about, and specifically on the defensive side and specifically in the secondary. I think there were like 8 new kids brought in. One of them's Tysheem Johnson, wasn't it? He looked like a ball player last night. We still got Richard. All right, we'll get Richard back in just a second. He's driving on his way back. Tysheem Johnson, part of the 2021 Ole Miss recruiting class, and you're talking about a kid getting onto the field for the first time last night and not looking out of place against a Power 5 opponent. Tysheem Johnson, again, the further away from the line of scrimmage you get, the harder it is to actually do the job because you start to get more responsibilities. If you're a true freshman and you're facing an offense Scott Satterfield is coaching. There is nothing easy about that from the diagnosis. You have to play fast. They count on you. It's, you know, you hear that phrase, false steps. They count on that. Either you're an upperclassman that has not caught on, or you're a freshman and everything is new and your head's swimming. That was, want to bring back on Richard Cross right now. Tysheem Johnson was one of those kids we were talking about, the eight new players in the secondary. He did not look out of place on a Power 5 football field. All right. Well, we will bring Richard back at some point. Hopefully we can get him. But the point is that we had talked about all offseason that this total makeover on defense, part of it was a kid like Otis Reese, who I want to say played three games last year. Part of it is a kid like Chance Campbell, who played all the games, but it was just at a different school. Part of it is a kid like Tysheem Johnson, who might have played 10 games, but it was on Friday nights, not on Saturday. Give them so much credit on the defensive side of the football. It is not an easy thing. It's not a video game to just import all this talent. There was a year with the Philadelphia Eagles. They signed Javon Kearse and like four other big-time defensive free agents, and it just didn't work to the extent that they were hoping. And, well, why didn't it work? It's not like baseball where kind of you operate independently of one another, where if you drop an all-star third baseman onto a roster, well, guess what? You just got really good at third base almost no matter who else is on the team. 100-win team, 100-loss team, doesn't matter. You just got better. That's not how it is on football, in football, especially on defense. And so I was wanting to get over to offense eventually and talk about some of the different options that Ole Miss used, but this is the reason I started on defense. I'm glad we did because we lost Richard. He's in the deep recesses somewhere on 20 right now getting back home. The reason I wanted to start on defense is because that was the story. That was the unusual. That was the unexpected. That was the what? They scored 43 last night and had, I don't know, about 500 yards in offense. Was that unusual? No, we could have talked. Hey, wasn't Matt Corral great? Yes, he was. Wasn't Jerrion Ealy great? Wasn't Ontario Drummond had a big game? Wasn't Drummond great? Yes, he was. But we kind of expected all that. I was looking at the Prize Picks numbers going into it. I was like, Drummond, 3.5 catches? Oh, over. I think he had 9. And so all of that was expected. Jerrion Ealy ran the ball, caught the ball. In fact, they got into the end zone time after time after time on the ground. Kind of expected. Defense pitching a shutout for two quarters? What's the number? Is it 2016 last time that happened? So it's just, it's not normal. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Like I said, they've got a lot more SEC-caliber players running around. It's not necessarily that the guy shouldn't have been on the field the past couple of seasons, but they didn't have enough of them. And maybe they weren't upperclassmen and the depth, and then you get an injury, and we're waiting on a kid to get cleared. And so all of these question marks and issues and problems, historically bad. On that side of the ball, and now there is at least the potential. After all of 1 week and one game, there's the potential that Ole Miss playing a little defense again. All right, we're going to break, come back, wrap up on a Tuesday next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
You just got to make sure that headgear's out of there. And it's not just that, but you can't hit the head at all, you know, whether it be shoulder pad, anything. And I understand the rule. I think there's a lot of good thought behind that rule. It's just punishment seemed to be very, very harsh to me.
Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman. If you're watching last night's Ole Miss-Louisville game, targeting was a big part of that, especially in the first half. I believe each team had two players ejected. I think each team had two. There was the potential that Louisville could have had two players ejected on the same play, and I've never seen that before. But I believe they had two of their defensive starters. Montgomery was one. I'm trying to remember the other. And then I believe Ole Miss, they either have one or two ejections as well. Sam Pittman, he had two on Saturday. In fact, I will say probably his two best defensive players, both seniors, upperclassmen coming back, Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan. Grant Morgan was ejected in the first quarter against Rice. I thought it was a correct call. Bumper Pool, I can't remember it as well. I remember watching because Sam Pittman lost his mind because Grant, it's a ball game in the first quarter. And Grant Morgan gets ejected, and when he was talking about shoulder pad, I think that was one of the hits. It looked like from one angle it was sort of a shoulder pad hit, but it wasn't. It was a helmet to a helmet, and even as he's saying, even if you do use the shoulder pad to hit the helmet, you can't hit him anywhere up there. I've said, and again, I'm as old school as I'm Old Testament when it comes to football, all right? Run the ball, play defense. If I could cross my fingers and toes and have it become so again, I would. But that's not what football is. And by the way, I don't complain. Things used to be better. No, they were just different as all. And so I don't sit here and talk about how much better things were. But as old school as I am football-wise, I've said that replay in every sport should be eliminated. All replays should be done away with except replays for targeting. It has made a difference. And last night, there was one hit. I mean, it was lower. I'm about to tackle, about to tackle, about to tackle, and then I'm going to lower my head, and suddenly my eyes are staring at plastic grass, and I collide the kid anyway. And I want to say that was the Ole Miss defender. I'm trying to remember. It might have hit a Louisville kid in the side of the head. And I was like, hey, guilty. Head down. Now you're looking at turf. Head, eyes up. You got to hit what you see. Hit anything you want as long as you see it. And it can be crown of the helmet. It can be helmet to helmet. It can be force. It can be defenseless. And it was all those things. So Sam Pittman was talking about the punishment. He says, I'm all in favor of protecting the kids. He says, punishment seems harsh. Do you know why? They play Texas Saturday, don't they? Grant Morgan will play because he missed the final 3.5 quarters of Saturday's tilt with the Owls, which Arkansas won. Bumper Pool, again, what I'm about to describe, not a whole lot of this on the Arkansas roster. Senior stud on defense. That's just kind of what he is. He's a producer, man. He's a tackling machine. And sometimes, some Saturdays, because of who they're playing and the defensive line, maybe he's the 6-yard sheriff. But there are plenty of times that ain't what it is at all. He's a really, really, really tough, good football player. And he won't play at all in the first half because he got ejected in the fourth quarter Saturday against Rice. So Sam Pittman, not happy, and absolutely. By the way, speaking of linebackers, I want to throw a bone here. Ryan Greenhagen. Anybody know Ryan Greenhagen? You're not supposed to. Dan shaking his head going, wait a minute, am I supposed to? Oh, he's the Ohio State defender. No. He's not anything like that. Ryan Greenhagen plays linebacker for Fordham. Boy had 30 tackles the other day. 30. Nebraska beat Fordham 52-7. and I was watching the only reason, and I had watched some of this, but the only reason I was like, wait a minute, what? Is I was watching post-game press conference. Marquis Stepp is a running back at Nebraska, and so he's talking media post-game, this, that, and a third, and somebody's, any comment about Greenhagen, the Fordham linebacker? Yeah, he looked like a good ball player. Why? He had 30 tackles. Marquis Stepp was like, wait a minute, he had how many? 30? Mike Singletary had 35 tackles for Baylor against Houston in 1978. Ryan Greenhagen has the highest total since. Now, since tackles did not become an official statistic until 1981 or 80, Mike Singletary, his record is not really a record. It's something that you can go back now and document. It's like Deacon Jones getting credit for sacks. He invented the term sack, but sack wasn't really a statistic until like 1990. So I think Deacon Jones, his total career sacks is zero, and he invented the term sack the quarterback. Think about it. How is that a football term? I'm gonna sack him. Like a player made that up. But it wasn't a statistic until like 20-something years after he made it up. Well, he had 30 tackles against Nebraska, and he earned it. I played in a youth league game when I was in, I think, eighth grade. There's a kid, Dwayne Hunter. He had like 30 tackles in a game, and I was like, how in the world is he doing? That was in a rec league game. This was in a game against Nebraska. Well, they ran the ball the whole time. Nebraska's run the ball. There are teams every single Saturday who run the ball a whole lot. Guys don't get 30 tackles. So Ryan Greenhagen, bunch of helmet stickers, and maybe even – I don't know, be like Ohio State and just like put all of them on one side if you want. But 30 tackles, that's not nothing. All right, Dan's going to pop in just a minute, but right now, closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Two men who will decide a lot about the Coastal Division had very different responses to week one. Quote, "We were overrated. We're not as good as we thought we were." That was Mack Brown after losing by 7 on the road in about as tough an environment in the ACC as exists. UNC went on the road, played in Blacksburg, Lane Stadium on a Friday night, electric crowd, and they got beat 17-10. Mack Brown, after losing by 7 in a true road game, quote, "We were overrated. We're not as good as we thought we were." Manny Diaz, after losing by 31 at a neutral site and never competing, quote, "The difference in the game was third down offense. I thought their quarterback made some plays to extend their offense." Okay, this is not a huge deal in the moment, but ask yourself, just evaluating that statement, how do you think the rest of the season will go individually for these two? One has a grown man saying tough, real, not so pleasant grown man things. The other is making excuses and pointing to an almost irrelevant number as the main reason his team lost. I would say first down and second down played a bigger role than whatever happened on third down, and Bama was good on third down. I think first and second down played a role as well. At least as big a role and bigger than in the outcome than whatever happened the few times Alabama had a crucial third down. Extending the drive was not really much of an issue. When you throw 94-yard touchdown passes, it's not really much of the issue trying to extend the drive. That was Mack Brown, and that was Manny Diaz. I'm a fan of both of them. Mack Brown revealed, yeah, I've been in this game for a minute. I know what it's about. Manny Diaz, he's looking around going, hey, everybody, still be positive. You can get the let's still be positive. We've got a lot in front of us without resorting to pure fiction like this. Mack Brown found a way to do that. All right, that is my closing argument. Dan, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. And, you know, it's one of those things that the targeting issue, which, of course, last night during games,
big deal.
Seemingly, well, there is that, but seemingly there is always a collective outrage on Twitter during games. And last night it was, we've got to fix targeting. It's got to become almost like in the NBA with flagrant one and flagrant two. Of course, flagrant two, you're out of the ballgame. Flagrant one, you get to stick around. Red card, yellow card, all that kind of stuff. I think people need to realize, too, why rules are made and how they are made and the severity of the rules, because, Chuck, the safety net there for the rule makers has to be, let's go as extreme as possible at the beginning, and then if we need to tune it back, then we will do that. We've seen countless examples of this in the past. This rule will be changed. It's only a matter of when, because you're going to have enough coaches, namely the major ones, who are finally going to say, yeah, this is crap, and they're going to go to the competition committee and say, we can't have this. We saw it in college baseball a few years ago. We got to fix the bats. We'll go to wood. The bat makers will stop sponsoring us if we go to wood, because they're not going to give us all of those wood bats. So let's fix it to where they are 70% or 30% less of what they were. Then it's 1-0 games. This sucks. Change the baseball. Now it's back. We're all good.
Raise the mound, lower the mound, bring the fences in.
That's it. And it's the same thing in football here. You can always go back. You can't go forward when you've set the precedent.
Dan, good stuff today. David, great job on the ones and twos. Appreciate all the guests. Appreciate everybody listening. 22 hours. Recharge the batteries. Promise. Be back this time tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.